Civics Unplugged to Mission Control.
Roger, 0G, and I
have one small step for man.
Welcome to Mission Control 2030. Welcome, everyone, back to Mission Control 2030. This is the podcast of Civics Unplugged, and where it's where we talk about everything CU related. I'm Elena, and I'm the host. I'm a founding fellow and a builder at Civics Unplugged. And right now you're listening to Dispatch number 3. And today we have some awesome guests. One of them is reoccurring and two of them are brand new to the pod. And I'm so excited to talk with them. So let's introduce everyone and we'll start with our reoccurring guests, I guess.
Hey. Oops. Hey, it's Gary. I'm one of the co-founders. I'm calling in from outside Chicago because of the Chinese New Year, visiting family, normally based in New York. It's good to be here, Elena.
I can hop in next. Hey, everyone. My name is Zoe Jenkins. I am a high school senior in Lexington, Kentucky, soon to be Virginia. And I, like Elena, was a founding fellow with Civics Unplugged, and I now serve as the chair of the Civics 2030 Steering Committee.
I'm happy to jump in here. Hi, my name is Chabuka Pumba. I am 19 and based out of Toronto. I am a proud builder of this community and was also part of the inaugural fellowship and now spend a lot of my time working on a lot of different cool up-and-coming CU projects.
And that's actually a great segue for our first topic, because one of the projects that Chabu works on is the transmission. So Chabu, why don't you tell us all, what is the transmission?
So the transmission is the official biweekly newsletter of the CU community. It's structured in a way where we really get to inform, you know, our wider community, like friends and family, builders, fellows, about things that are happening in CU right now, events that are coming up, projects that have been launched, ways to plug in. It's really just another way to keep everyone informed about all the great things that are happening throughout the community.
I'm going to wait a second just in case everyone wants to jump in, but if not. Okay, awesome. So who runs the transmission, Chabu? Is this just you doing this?
So it's definitely a team effort. Right now, it happens kind of within a sector of CU called the Empowerment Crew. And we just focus on empowering all the different people in our community. And so right now, the Empowerment Crew is myself and another CU admin team member, Luna. But we're also kind of expanding the Empowerment Crew. So it's exciting to see who could be writing the transmission sooner in the future.
And the next one comes out this coming week, am I right?
Yes, so stay tuned for a new response in your inbox on Monday.
Hey, this is Future Elena editing the podcast right now. It is Wednesday, February 17th when I am editing this, which means that the transmission has actually already come out. It came out this past Monday, February 15th, so if you haven't already checked your inbox and read it, make sure you do because it's super awesome. Also, I want to acknowledge my terrible mic quality. I forgot to check if my mic was plugged in. It was not. I apologize. Talk to you later.
Oh, I'll definitely be looking forward to that. If you're in the CU community, make sure you keep your eyes open for transmission because there's going to be a bunch of cool stuff in there, some stuff that you're not going to want to miss. I don't know who to pose this question to, so this will be an open forum. What is civics season? Because this is a word that's been thrown around a lot recently. And honestly, I'm not even sure I know what it is.
I can kind of help introduce it. Civic season is, it started with a vision of wanting to revitalize how we celebrate 4th of July and Independence Day and really ground the event in not just like celebrating our country, but also celebrating and embracing our civic spirit. And really treating it as an event to recognize and realize how we can invest in our democracy and our communities for the better. And so Civic Season is an emerging idea, and we have some really cool partners that are plugging in, and Gary can kind of help elaborate on what that is. But it's how we are kind of, as a community, addressing the 4th of July in a way that is new and improved and really adds value to how we celebrate Independence Day.
So yeah, just to add on to what Chabu said, our partners are going to be pretty awesome for civic season this year, which is sort of a trial run of it, but especially in coming years, as we head to the 250th anniversary of the United States. Our sort of flagship partner is a branch of the Smithsonian called Made by Us, which is trying to supercharge the way that young people in America are able to make sense of American history and build the future of America, which is, you know, obviously a you know, very mission aligned with Civics Unplugged, which is trying to build the future of democracy.
And so with Civic Season, we're sort of like reinventing the idea of Independence Day and how to celebrate it. And what might that look like? What does this improved version look like in with CU's vision?
You know, when I personally think of like 4th of July and Independence Day, I think of fireworks and red, white, and blue, barbecue with my family, you know, a party on a summer day. And all those things are like integral to the holiday. And it's not that we're trying to kind of, you know, disengage with that, but I think that when we think about our Independence Day, it should also be a moment of reflection to really engage with ourselves and our community and, you know, our wider democracy in how we can do more for our country and ourselves and our communities. So we kind of picked, in the same way that like a holiday season is really immersive and inspiring and has like a sense of unity that cultivates for just like good energy all around, that's kind of what we're trying to supercharge with Civic Season. Having that same sense of unity and excitement, but a more focused energy towards improving our democracy and really taking tangible steps to, you know, take advantage of that time.
Yeah, I definitely resonate with that. Also, like, you know, I feel like the 4th of July is also a sort of glamorized holiday in a way. And it's a day like, yeah, we celebrate our country because it's awesome. It's like the birthday. But also, it's also a day we tend to forget, like, hey, not everything is great. Not everything is equal. And we still have a long way to go. And I think that Civic Season is going to provide a great opportunity to, like you were saying, reflect and just engage in a more meaningful version of the holiday. Is there anything either Gary, Zoe, you want to add on to that?
Zoe, I'd actually love to hear what your thoughts are on how the 4th of July could be made better in some way.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely another element, I think, of the Civic Season, too, that's important to highlight, is that it starts with Juneteenth. So I think it gets kind of what you were saying, Elena, of talking about, you know, equality, talking about, you know, this incredibly diverse, pluralistic society that we have in the United States, and really celebrating all of the different kinds of people, all different groups of people, and all the various backgrounds that have contributed. Because I don't think in any ways we can move forward until we, you know, start reflecting, which is all what Civic Season is about. We need to reflect on, you know, how did we get here, but also paying special attention to the histories that we haven't been listening to. Because I think, you know, when we talk about Independence Day, we talk about, man, and then we beat the British, they signed the Declaration, all this great stuff, like, look at us, brand new country. But then we neglect a lot of the kind of more sinister things that were going on at the same time. And like, a funny thing, actually, we've been studying in my class is this whole paradox between the fact that we were fighting for liberty and freedom while also, you know, preserving this, you know, the Atlantic slave trade at the exact same time. And that these two things were going on simultaneously, where we were like, you know, to be free means to be able, you know, to pursue your own happiness, to own property, etc. But we were depriving that right of so many people. So it's just an important time to reflect, not only to celebrate, because that's how we can use this holiday to do some good. And not only, you know, like what Chabu said, barbecue, which is great. But there's so much more, too, that we should be doing on the holiday and around that time of year.
Definitely. Like you were saying, the founding fathers, when like our country was created, it was life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness for like rich white men. And like now in 2021, this holiday and our values as a country mean so much to all sorts, all groups of people. And we need to have a way to reflect on the racist, classist, sexist things our country was unfortunately found on, and working to fix those systems and to make them better. And yeah, just putting the love that we have for our country on that day to good use and to making it better. So I really love this. Oh my goodness. I'm such a fan of CU does so much work in redefining things and spaces. And I think that the 4th of July is a great opportunity to redefine the holiday and what it means to people. So I'm very excited about that. Speaking of sort of like summer civics CU things, because this is always what I think of, can we talk about Civics 2030? Because the fact that it's been like over 6 months since that campaign launched is crazy. And also, there are a bunch of new listeners. A large portion of the listenership of this podcast are 21 fellows, and they don't really know what Civics 2030 is. So let's do a quick rundown. Does someone want to give us like the 30-second summary? What is Civics 2030?
I can try to keep it under 30 seconds. I will try my best.
It's hard. Later. There's so much.
But essentially, as you know, Elena Chabu and I were all part of the inaugural fellowship of Civics Unplugged, and we were supposed to culminate the fellowship with CUDC. We were all going to take this fantastic trip to Washington, D.C., stay in dorms in Georgetown, sign our declaration, all of that. But then very clearly that wasn't going to be possible in March of 2020. So a group of builders got together and were thinking about how do we meaningfully end the fellowship and kick off something bigger. And that's where Civics 2030 was born, which is a campaign to mobilize funds and support for Gen Zers that are creating projects to strengthen democracy in their communities. We kicked that off with our event, Commence 2030. If you haven't watched it, you definitely should. It's on the Civics Unplugged YouTube page. But it's been a great, wow, I can't believe it's been 6 months.
Zoe
a great 6 months.
Zoe was also a fabulous host of that. She hosted the whole thing. Like, Dwayne The Rock Johnson was there, but who was the star? It was Zoe Jenkins, y'all.
I appreciate that, Elena, but I will deflect and use kind of a cliche answer that the stars were definitely all the kids that we were able to highlight that year. There were so many builders and just kids in general who had done so much incredible change, and we were able to highlight them on such a great platform. And they were able to be in like the same space as The Rock. I don't think you can beat that.
I will never forget everyone who filmed the moment when The Rock said their name, and just like hearing the screams in the background, be like, yo, I sang for The Rock and he came to this event. It's so heartwarming. But yeah, that was, like Zoe said, that kicked off the Civics 2030 campaign. And that campaign has been funding Gen Z-led projects, one of which Zoe actually runs, that are bettering democracy and America in some way. So Zoe, do you want to talk about your project?
Yeah, sure. So my project is DICE, spelled D-I-C-C-E. It's just a group creating diversity, equity, inclusion curriculum for young people that's meant to be taught by fellow kids. I think we've all alluded to this in different ways, but we do need to understand our history before we can start progressing forward. So giving Gen Zers the tools and the understanding to be able to pursue equity in all of their projects and all that they do, to keep it super short.
And if you're interested in DICE, you can go to the website, dice.org, where new curriculum was just posted. So you can actually see all of these lessons that Zoe and the DICE team has curated that span a wide range of topics. So definitely go make sure you check it out, because it's important stuff. You gotta, like you're saying, the root of change is education. We gotta start there in order to move forward. So that's super cool and important. But something else we can talk about Civics 2030 related is also sort of a Zoe question. Zoe, what's the steering committee? You said you were chair of it earlier, but what is it?
Yeah, so the Civics 2030 steering committee is a group of five kids who were all democratically elected by 2020 fellows to help decide how we fund projects. And while that was our initial kind of sole purpose, I think the steering committee has definitely been redefined over the last 6 months as our builder community is expanding. We've done a lot of thinking about, you know, how do we make our community a fruitful and productive democracy? So we don't just fund projects. We also are amending the declaration that we signed the week that we kicked off Civics 2030, finding new ways to just improve and bolster our community, support builders in the best way we possibly can. And I can't wait to see what future steering committees do, because I think our role is, you know, constantly kind of evolving as kind of the core leadership, so to speak, but representing the builders in the best way we possibly can.
Yeah, so to build off that, Zoe, every year we elect a new steering committee because that was an important part of our launch sort of week for Civics 2030. And I think that the steering committee is truly, like, they're some of the most active and involved members in our group. I mean, we have Zoe, we have Daryl, we have Lillian, we have Jonah, we have Tati, we have people that they're always there for you and can always reach out to them. So if you're a builder in the community or if you're going to be joining the community, know that whoever is on the steering committee, they're always a great place to reach out if you have any questions, as well as, like, anyone, I guess. That's part of what I like about the community so much. Like, everyone is so nice and easy to talk to, and I'm so excited. Can you tell how excited I am for the 21 fellows to join the community, like, and actually get to, like, talk to them? Oh, I'm so pumped. I guess moving right along, our next topic is the Unplugged School of Process. And once again, I will be frank, I have no clue what this is. Does someone want to hop on that?
Yeah, absolutely. The Unplugged School of Process was first really inspired by just how much wisdom exists in our community and trying to find a way to, you know, bring that to the forefront of the conversations that we were having. And so we've had a lot of really great thought experiments and conversations with incredible sense makers. And all of those moments kind of led up to the Unplugged School of Process. Quite similar to a school of thought that you would see in, like, a classic philosophical kind of classroom. And USP is really there to invest in processes, so ways of going about creating meaningful work that directly relates to democracy and building democracy and human flourishing. So Madison, another great member of this community, and I have been really investing time in bringing those processes to the surface, creating the language around what USP embodies and how we can really implement those values in all the work that we do here at CU. And we've already had some really great experiences already where people have kind of engaged with some of the processes that we value in this community outside of it and put it to use in their own way. So USP is a new project. It's very exciting. I couldn't think of a better project to invest time and energy into, because its relevancy kind of just expands into everything. And it definitely has use and application as we kind of look into what it means to learn and grow, especially as a young person who wants to invest in building democracies.
I guess what I'll add is a thought about how one thing that we've realized is that opinions are kind of overrated. It's easy to have opinions. It's a lot harder to make those opinions better. It's a lot harder to engage with other people with their opinions. It's harder to do long, drawn out, never ending type of processes like self-development, self-discovery, entrepreneurship. So that's really where we focused our attention, on the processes that are essential to leveling up ourselves and the communities that we care about and the world. And that macro process of evolving the set of processes that we ourselves use, but also eventually share with the world and teach to the world. That itself is a process. So, you know, I really give so much credit to Chabu, Madison, and a few others for really pushing this forward. It really has so much potential.
And I think you said leveling up, you know, ourselves and our communities and our democracy, that at its core is what we're doing at CU. We're always striving not only for a better democracy and a better community, but a better self. And yeah, I think that, I mean, I feel like I say this on every single topic, but I feel like it is going to become so integral to CU and what it is. So I cannot wait to see the product. But I guess that wraps up everything I have. Is there anything else anyone else wants to say or plug before we wrap this up?
I'm sorry. I just wanted to touch on this. We have a community writing space called The Platform, and Elena wrote an incredible platform piece. And it made me so proud to not only read it, but look at the responses, in the sense that it shows that we are more than happy to hold each other accountable and really cultivate the space that's worthy of being invested in. And so I just want to thank Elena for taking advantage of that space and doing what she did with that. And I am so thrilled that she was willing to share that. So I just wanted to shout out Elena before we headed out.
Thank you so much, Chabu. Like, that means a lot to me. Thank you. I appreciate you taking the time to read and reflect. And yeah, this is why the CU community is so great, everyone. It's because everyone has so much genuine love and respect for each other. And it's just so empowering and amazing. And on that note, I guess that wraps up dispatch number 3. Gary, Chabu, Zoe, thank you for being amazing guests as always. If you, the listener, want to find more about Civics Unplugged, you can go to the website, civicsunplugged.org, or follow us on social media at Civics Unplugged, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, LinkedIn. And as per tradition, I'm going to plug Gary's LinkedIn. He posts on there every day. So go like Gary's LinkedIn posts. If you want to listen to more Mission Control episodes, just look up Mission Control 2030 wherever you get your podcasts. And I guess this is Elena signing off of the 3rd dispatch. See you later.